We don't have a ton of time, so we're going to head right in today with a question. And here's my question for you. You can answer it by a show of hands. How many people in here have ever wanted to fit into something badly? Right? Like you're looking around or you look at a group of friends or a group of people or something and you're like, I just want to fit in to that so bad. If you're not raising your hand, you're probably lying because I think we all have at some point or another. That's okay. We're not going to judge you. We'll work on that. But I believe all of us at some point in our lives have looked at something and went, man, I want to fit into that so bad. I want to be a part of that so bad. I am not exempt from this. In fact, in my life, this has happened many times. One of those times was in elementary school. See, in second grade, when I was 7 years old, we moved here. We being my family, we moved here from this little town in Michigan, Marshall, Michigan. We moved out here to Gilbert, Arizona. Yeah, Marshall, Michigan. We moved out here from Michigan to be out here in Arizona. And as soon as we got here, I noticed something. I noticed that the kids here were a little cooler than what I was around consistently. Like it was a little different. Maybe cooler is not the best word, but different. And I wanted to fit in. I was moving from this little town in the Midwest to this big city out in the West where people dressed different and did different things. And I don't know, they were just the cool kids, the cool Arizona kids. And I wanted to be a part of this. Well, I started second grade going to this school. Maybe some of you have heard of Sonoma Ranch Elementary. It's where I went to school. Yeah, Sonoma Ranch. Yeah, go Stallions. What? I went to Sonoma Ranch Elementary School. And I wanted to fit in badly. But here's some things you need to know about me in second grade. See, I was a big kid in second grade. Like, I was a big kid in second grade. Let me tell you. Like, I was tall. I was heavy. I was a man child of a second grade boy. That's just who I was. I was a really big kid. I stood out above everybody else. I was about twice the size of every other second grader. Apparently, I hit my growth spurt in second grade and I stayed there because I don't know that I've grown much since. But that's who I was in second grade. So I'm this kid who sticks out like a sore thumb, but just wants to fit in to everything else that's going on. And you and I both know that culture isn't always kind to the person who stands out, right? You and I both know that this world isn't always friendly to the person who sticks out like a sore thumb. It's not always the best thing to be the one who sticks out and is different from everybody else. Unity, being connected regardless of the way we look, regardless of our differences, regardless of all of that, is not something that TV and music and celebrities and all of these other things in culture tells us is important. It's not a priority of the world that we live in. We talk about it, but it's not necessarily a priority in the way that we live, in the way that we categorize things as human beings. I mean, think about that. Think about your life right now. Everything that we do is categorized. Our whole lives are put into categories. That's just how culture works. You're in a specific grade. You go to a specific school based on where you live. Your parents have a specific amount of money, which puts you in a specific social class, lower, middle, upper. You dress a certain way. Your style's a certain way. You're an athlete. Athletes, just think about this. When you get into high school, you will be categorized by your talent. You have freshman, JV, and varsity. We're consistently being put in categories. That's the way that culture tells us things are supposed to work. You need to be in your specific category with your group of friends, with your group of people, and don't worry about anybody else. Just stick to your category. Stick to your group and forget about everything else. So, in second grade, I was, I believe, the only person in the group labeled tall, heavy, goofy man-child. I think I was the only person that existed in that category in second grade. So it was hard. It was hard because I longed to be united with the other second graders. I long to be connected with these new people in this new place, at this new school, in this new state that I was living in. So here's what we did. We found something in common. We found something in common. And what you have to understand is I am not a big fan of football. I hated football in second grade. I'm still not the biggest fan. Sorry, Kane. I apologize. I'm just not the biggest football fan. I've never got into it. But I was a man child. And size goes a long way in football. So, because I was so big, every recess, every lunch, we got together and played football. And I quickly became known as the best center ever in the history of Sonoma Ranch Elementary. That's just who I was. Nobody was getting to that quarterback with me at center. It wouldn't happen. I didn't even like physical contact, but they wouldn't mess with me. I was just bigger than everybody else. So quickly, around this thing that I didn't even really care that much about, football, around this thing, football, I began to unite with other second graders who were much different than me. And honestly, some of those same kids were my friends all throughout the years. High school, we played sports together and we grew up together. Because we found our common ground. Because we could unite based on something like football, regardless of how different I was, regardless of how much I stood out, regardless of the fact that I did not fit in with the normal group of second graders here in Arizona. So here's my question for you. Culture in today's world in 2015 is constantly telling us that everything needs to be different. Everything needs to be separate. Why then, junior hires, why then do we long for unity? Why do we long to be connected and united with one another? If you have your Bibles, open them to John chapter 17. If you don't have a Bible, we have some for you. We came prepared. Throw your hands up. There's no shame. We want to get a Bible in your hand this morning. It's okay if you didn't bring one. We want you to have one. We want you to read along so you can see what we're talking about here. If you don't own a Bible, keep the one we're about to give you. I mean that. It's our gift to you. We believe that this is the living, breathing Word of God. And if you take the time to read and dive into this book, it will change your life in incredible ways. No shame in this. If you need a Bible, throw your hand up. They will bring you one. So I want you to think about that question for a second as you're turning to John chapter 17. If culture tells us that separate is normal, why do we long for something different? Why do we long for unity? See, I believe we long for something different because we were created to. I fully believe that. I believe we were created to be united. We were created to long for something different than separation. I believe that we're bothered by segregation. Separation is another way to put it. Because we actually realize at our core that unity, being united, is better than being separated. I believe we believe that at the core of who we are. And you're in church, so I'm going to tell you this. I believe that we long to be unified with one another. Because that's what Jesus, the Son of God, wants for us. I believe it is a priority of His for us to be united. So let's take a look at this in Scripture. John chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 20. Are you there? Say, I got it if you're there. Oh, this is scary. There we go. There we go. Oh my gosh. You're awake. Thank you. John chapter 17, verse 20. It says this. This is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus praying. We're getting an inside look at one of Jesus' prayers. And it says this. My prayer is not for them alone. We'll explain that in a second. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Did you know that Jesus, the Son of God, prayed for you? This is what we're reading here. Jesus, before what will be the hardest moment of his life, his arrest, his beating, and his crucifixion and death on a cross, before he gets to that, he takes time to pray. And first, he prays for his disciples, the people that are currently walking with him at the time, 2,000 years ago, that believe in who he is. He prays for them. But then we get to verse 20, and things shift. Jesus goes, I'm not just praying for the disciples. I'm praying for those that will someday believe in who I am because of their message. Junior hires, let me tell you, if you are a Christian and you're sitting in here today, he's praying for you. That's us. We're the ones who now believe in who Jesus is because of the message that has lasted for thousands and thousands of years. In this moment, Jesus prays for something incredibly specific. Out of all the things that Jesus could pray for you and for me, for Christians who would exist for thousands of years, after his death and resurrection and ascension back into heaven, he chooses to pray for something very specific. So, what is it? Let's keep reading. Verse 21. I'm going to start back at verse 20 and read into 21. It says this. This is Jesus' words. Remember that. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also, that's you and me, that's Christians, may they also be in us. Out of all the things that Jesus could have prayed for Christians, for believers, out of everything he could have prayed, he chooses to pray for unity. That just like he is the Son of God, that just like the Father and him are one, they cannot be separated. Jesus is God. There's nothing that could take that away. That just like that, you and me would be connected with him in an inseparable way. In a way that is absolutely impossible to separate. That we would be connected with one another and with God in a way that cannot be separated. That we would be unified with each other and with him. And in all of this, we're to be united in the truth of who Jesus is. Just like Jesus is God, and there's no way that we can take that away from him. Just like Jesus is God, we're to be connected in a way that cannot be separated. Jesus wants us to be united in the truth of who he is. So then, that begs this next question. What is it that actually unites us? See, what you have to understand as you're sitting here today, as you look around this room, we're a room of all sorts of different types of people. We're a room of all sorts of different kinds of junior hires. But for those of us who believe and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, there is one thing that unites every single one of us. There is one thing that we all have in common as Christians, and that is Jesus. No matter what you're wearing, no matter how much money your parents have, no matter what school you go to or how cool you are, the one thing that unites every single one of us who are sitting in here and have a relationship with Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. He unites us, who he is and what he's done in our lives. Let me answer this a little bit clearer. You can turn there if you want. Ephesians chapter 2 is where we're going to be. But I'm going to read this to you. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 4. When you look and you go, wait a second, we're so different. Everything is just, we don't dress the same. We don't look the same. We're just different. How in the world could we all be connected as Christians? Let me tell you exactly what we all have in common. Ephesians chapter 2 shows us this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says this. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. We were all dead, but Jesus made us alive. Because of our sins, because of our mistakes, we were all dead, but Jesus changed that. Second part of verse 5. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. That is beautiful. We as Christians are experiencing God's grace on an unreal level, on an unreal level. It is incomparable to anything else that we could ever know. Verse 8, Christians, hear this. This is a reminder of who you are. Verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. You could not earn this salvation on your own. There's nothing you can do to get right with God. It's something that he gave us by grace through faith. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If you're sitting here and you're a Christian, you're going, I don't understand what I have in common with all these other people. Let me tell you again clearly, as we just saw in Ephesians chapter 2. Here's what we as Christians have in common. Here is what unites us. That we were dead and now we're alive. That we were sinners and now we're forgiven. No matter how you look, no matter who you are, if you are a believer, we all have this in common. This is a truth that unites every single one of us, that every single one of us who believes has been saved by grace through faith. It's our common ground. And this doesn't seem to make sense in the world that we live in today, does it? See, for a group of people that are completely different from one another, to be able to be connected and united around one thing seems like a pretty dream, but also seems impossible. You can spend 10 minutes on Facebook and read the way that we comment to one another, we bash one another, the things we say about one another, and realize that unity is not something that is common in today's world. It's incredibly hard for us to get on the same page with one another and to unite. Yet, as we read Scripture, and we read Jesus' prayer for us as Christians, he tells us that we're supposed to be united. The world goes, you're categorized by the amount of money you have, by the types of clothes you wear, by the sport you play, by the grade you're in, by the school you go to, by the city you live in. The world goes, you're categorized by all of those things. And then we read Scripture. And it goes, hey, no, you're not. That's not how this works. You are saved by grace through faith. Every single one of you that has a relationship with Jesus, regardless of who you are, regardless of what you look like, regardless of what group you fit into at school, you have been saved by grace through faith. That's all you are, and that's all you need to be. Nothing more. And just so you know, there's a lot of people out there who have been saved by grace through faith, just like you. It's our common ground. It's the truth that unites us. See, we as Christians are united because of Jesus. He's what brings us together. He's what blurs our differences as people. Jesus is what unites us. So then it begs this next question. So what then is the purpose of all of this unity? I think every one of us sitting in here that are hearing this right now goes, hey, this is great. But if we just sit around and we just hang out and we just make sure that all of our Christian friends are taken care of and everything is good here and we don't worry about anything else, there's something wrong with that. If we just become this cliquey group of Christians who forget about everybody else out there, there's something wrong with that. If we just become this holy huddle of people that just stick to one another and make sure that we're all taken care of and then forgets about everybody else, I think every single one of you sitting here would go, that's wrong. That's not how this is supposed to work. There's something wrong with that. So then why does unity matter? Here's what I love about Scripture. This Bible that we're reading together this morning, it gives us those types of answers. I'm going to read this again. 17, starting in verse 20. We're going to read through the end of 21 together. It says this. Jesus' prayer. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that... I love when the Bible gives us these word equations, right? The so that is like the equal sign in this equation. You're to be unified so that it equals this. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. The whole purpose, Christians, of unity is so that people will see and know that Jesus is who he says he is. That's why we unify. It's not so that you and me as Christians can be happy and clicky with one another. That's not the point. That's not the point of unity. It's not that we can sit around and make sure that we're all taken care of and then just forget about everybody else. That's not the point. It's not so that we as Christians can have comfy seats at our church and have nice parking spots for our families. That's not why we're united. That's not the point of this whole unity thing that Jesus is talking about. It's so that the world will see Jesus. So that your school friends, your teammates, your family members will see our unity as a body of Christians and go, I want what they have. I want what they have. It's so that people will see you praying together at school, caring for those who are commonly overlooked, caring for the outcast, for the loner, defending the innocent, and loving all sorts of different types of people. And then they look at the way that you're living and they see those things in you because you're a Christian and because you're united. And they look and they go, I want what they have. I want whatever is making them different. I need that in my life. Our unity is so that other people will look and desire to follow Jesus. Our unity is so that people will realize by the way we live, by the way we treat one another, by the way we love other people, they will realize that this Jesus guy that we follow is truly something special. And it's not finished there. Verse 22. Jesus goes on to pray this. He goes, I have given them the glory that you gave me. Talking about Christians. That they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Jesus goes, hey, this whole unity thing, I'm not just going to say, hey, once you're a Christian, I need you to be unified. All right, go get them. That's not the point. He goes, I'll give you what you need to be unified. I'm going to bring you to complete unity. That word means perfect in the original language of this text. Perfect unity. And I think you and I both know it is going to be impossible for us to experience that here on this earth. But for those of us that are Christians, you have to realize that this whole unity thing is part of what we hope for. That someday in eternity, in God's presence, we will understand what it means to be completely and perfectly united. That's part of our hope, that God is not finished. That someday all of the things on this earth that try to keep us from being connected, that try to keep us from being united, that try to keep us from loving one another well, will someday be gone. And we will experience full and complete and perfect unity in the presence of our God forever. So again, you may be sitting here and going, okay, I hear it. You're pretty excited about this, guy. You're pretty passionate about this whole unity thing. But can you remind me again, why is this important? Why does this matter? Well, I think Jesus knows that we're humans and we forget things quickly. So he goes on again in verse 23. At the end of verse 23, he reminds us again of why this whole unity thing is important. He goes, then the world will know. Once we're unified, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them. That's you and me as Christians, and have loved them even as you have loved me. I'm going to invite the band up. Here's what I need you to understand this morning. The whole purpose of our unity is that it will spread. The whole purpose of what we're talking about this morning is that it doesn't just close here, that the circle of our unity doesn't just close and stay with who we are and us and this group right here, but that it stays open so that many more can come in and step in to this unity that Jesus is talking about. Our unity will spread the love and the hope of Jesus Christ to our schools, to our communities, to our family members, to our teams. It's the so that in Scripture. We're to be unified so that people will know that Jesus is the real deal. And that he loves us. That God actually loves us. People will see that when we are unified. So there's two groups of people in here. There's some of you sitting in here that go, hey, this is, thank you for sharing all of that. I really appreciate it. I'm glad. But I don't really buy into this whole Jesus thing. It's not for me. I don't believe. I just don't even ask. It's not for me. Here's what I want you to know if you fall in to that group. Our unity means that you are invited into what God is doing. Remember what we have in common. We've all been saved by grace. That means when we did not deserve it, we had made tons of mistakes. There was no way that we could fix our lives in front of God. There was no way that we could earn our forgiveness. In the middle of all of that, God saved us by grace. Meaning that he gave us love and he gave us forgiveness even though we didn't deserve it. So for those of you sitting in here that go, I don't buy into this Jesus thing, that's okay. What I want you to understand is that you are invited into it because we've all been saved by grace through faith. That is a free gift of God for every single one of us. And I also want you to know that I'm glad you're here. Even if you don't believe, I'm glad you're sitting here right now. And here's what's going to happen. No matter where you stand, no matter what you believe, we're going to love you. This group of people will love you. We're not going to judge you. But we're also going to hope and pray that you begin a relationship with Jesus Christ and that he changes your life in an incredible way. And we won't hide that. It's our hope and that's our prayer for you. And for those of you sitting in here that are Christians, there's some things that you need to know about everything we're talking about here. What you need to know about our unity is this, that as a Christian, being united means that you are not alone as you pursue God. There is a group of people around you who are pressing in and pursuing and seeking to follow him with all that we are, and we're going to do this together. You have a family here who's been saved by grace, just like you, and is following Jesus. And Christians, you are paving the way. You are setting an example of what unity is to those around you. There's always somebody who is looking at you. You are always sending a message, whether it's somebody who believes or somebody who doesn't. You as a Christian are sending a message of what unity is. Our unity, or our lack of unity, is sending a message to people. And the message it's supposed to send is that Jesus is the real deal and he loves us. Is it sending that message? Is the way we treat one another, is the way we love one another, is the way we interact at school and in public and outside of these walls, is the way that we're uniting as a group of believers, showing people that Jesus is who he says he is? There's a word that comes to mind in all of this. And maybe if you went to camp, you remember this word. It's this word, anthem. And here's how I've heard it defined. Anthem is the voices of many rising as one. It's the lives of many sending one message together in unity. So here's my question to you today, all of you. What will our anthem be? What will the message of the way that we live our lives in unity be? Will it be an anthem of love? Will it be an anthem of acceptance and inviting everyone into this beautiful thing that God is doing here? Will it be an anthem of unity with one another and God? And for those of you sitting here that go, hey, I don't believe, this isn't for me, my anthem, I'm not a part of this. Well, will you, as we live our lives connected and united, and you see Jesus in that, will you consider stepping into what God is doing here? What will our anthem be? I'm going to pray. The band's going to sing. We have one more thing to talk about, and then we're going to get out of here. But as we sing this last song, I want you to think about that question. What will our anthem be? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your grace that has saved us, God, that we have common ground, regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of school, regardless of any of that stuff, talent level, whatever, regardless of our past, regardless of our future, we as Christians are all united as one because we've been saved by grace through faith. Nothing more, nothing less. And God, I pray that we would live as a group of junior hires, united together as one, with love and with passion, that we would spread your hope and your love to those around us, that people would look at us in the way that we treat one another, and the way we unite with one another, and the way that we love, and go, I want what they have, that Jesus that they follow must be the real deal, and that they would step into what you're doing here, that our unity would be an example of your love and grace. God, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you give us the ability to unite in a world that tries to separate us, and that it's all done by your Spirit and through your power and who you are. I love you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I'm going to spend a minute telling you about some changes that we're going to make around here in our student ministries here at Mission. A lot of you went to camp last week, and you've already experienced some of what I'm about to talk about. We're going to have a new look around here. We're going to have a new name as a student ministry. We are going to be focused on uniting as one. Fourth grade through college age, we are going to be one ministry. We are no longer JHM. We're no longer JHM. You're not going to hear us call our ministry that. You're not going to hear what we're doing called JHM. Our social media is going to change here over the next couple days. Our websites, all that kind of stuff is going to change. Now we are Anthem. We are Anthem Student Ministries. That is who we are. We'll have a new look. You'll start hearing these things differently from fourth grade through college age. We are one ministry with one vision, with one name, and that is Anthem. We are together as one. Yeah, you can clap for that if you want to. We are one. No, don't freak out. You're still going to meet here as junior hires at 6 o'clock on Saturday and 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We're still going to have our junior high age event. We're going to have our age-appropriate stuff going on. You're still going to be in your junior high age house group, but you are no longer in a JHM house group. You're in an Anthem house group for junior hires. You come and you gather and you meet together with Anthem students. Eighth graders, next year when you go to high school, you're not going to go in and go, well, I think there's some HSM students there. I don't really know what they do or like who their pastor is and all those things. You're going to step into your high school and be able to go, hey, that's an Anthem student. We have that in common. We're part of one ministry. We're in this together. The new seventh graders, the new sixth graders who come up into seventh grade next year, they're going to come in, not as 4, 5, 6ers stepping into JHM because that's scary. They're going to step in as Anthem students. They're Anthem students who are just getting a little bit older. Some of you who went to winter camp last weekend experienced that the college age ministry of Mission Community Church was there and they were waiting our tables and serving us. Those are Anthem students who were serving us. Some of you have Anthem age students who have Anthem students who are leading your house group. We are one. One family, one ministry, Anthem. You are now an Anthem student. And here's what you need to know. You've heard this phrase a lot. Maybe you've seen it on social media over the past week. It's many as one. Many as one. But it doesn't stop there. We don't stop at many as one. What needs to happen is that we become many more as one. Our unity is an expression and a display of who Jesus is. And because of that, when you Anthem students go out to your schools and go to your teams and go to your families, that they see this Anthem thing, these students that are united in who Jesus is, it means something. And that they're invited into this. That Anthem doesn't just gather, but it spreads across this community, to your schools, to your friends, that people are changed and experience the love of Jesus Christ. So, we are Anthem. You are now Anthem students. I could not be more excited about this. I hope you're excited about this. The band's gonna finish up this song, and then you're gonna go, you're gonna have a great week. We love you so much. Be Anthem students. Have a great week.